We're going to look at a passage of Scripture tonight. It's kind of interesting. If you'd turn, if you would, to Psalm 107, if you're not there already. Psalm 107. It's good to see from people from Rosalind and Katie Elliott up in New Hampshire, and Kathy and Paul and Nancy and all of you. We're so glad you guys are here. Again, it's kind of hard because I'm used to seeing people and having to look at my face while I'm teaching is kind of interesting. But I want you to notice with me, we're going to cover a good portion of Psalm 107, not all of it, so you can rest here. Not like you have anything, you know, pending right now, I guess, anyway. But if you get tired of me, you know, you just log off, all you got to do. And I hope you don't, don't get tired of the word of the Lord here. But in Psalm 107, verse 27, the Bible speaks of those who are at their wits' end. It's kind of an interesting phrase because we've used it before here, and sometimes there's a lot of phrases that we use that we don't really realize. It goes all the way back to the Bible. That's where it came from. So look with me in Psalm 107. These were some sailors in a storm, and he's talking about that. We'll read the passages a little bit more in depth, but I just want you to look at this one verse. He says that they're in the midst of this storm. They say they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. And that phrase just caught me, and I think it's a very important phrase because if you're not at your wits' end now, you may be here in the next day or two or at the end of this week. And I think that God wants us to understand that this is not a bad place, actually, to be at your wits' end. The word wit here that the Scripture uses has to do with our intellect. It speaks of our plans. It speaks of our schemes that we come up with to try to deal with circumstances in life. And, you know, we're all trying to deal with this circumstance that's going on right now. I just saw that there was somebody who just had twins, a boy and a girl, and they named the boy COVID, and they named the girl, Corona. So you have COVID and Corona, so they named their babies after this situation that's going on right now, maybe as a reminder down the road. But it's interesting that when we think about coming to our wits' ends, the word wit, again, it's talking about our plans, our schemes that we come up with to try to deal with the circumstances of life. The story here that we are reading, they were trying to deal with the circumstances of a storm. These were sailors that were skilled men. They were men of wisdom of what they were doing, but they came to their wits' end even in this circumstance here. Now, when we come to our wits' end, what we are actually declaring is there's nothing else I can do. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about I just can't deal with this anymore. And this situation is bigger than me. That's what we're ultimately saying when we come to our wits' end. We're declaring that I can't deal with it. There's just nothing that I seem to be doing. It's working. It's bigger than me. But for the Christian, it's also recognizing that though it's bigger than you and I, the situation or the circumstance, it is not bigger than God. And I'm glad that no matter how big our problems can get, they're not bigger than the Lord. I think of John Bergstresser, who is our Sunday school teacher, who's been doing our lessons recently, and the new one he's getting ready to go into is on Goliath, you know, standing before Goliath. And, you know, if God permits, I've read this, that if God permits a Goliath to stand in front of us in our life, that must mean he sees a David inside of us. And I think that it's just an encouraging time for us to see the greatness of our God. And we're going to see the greatness of our God not through everyday ordinary things, but when greater circumstances arise to where we come to our wits' end, where it's nothing, there's nothing left that we can do. And they're talking about this virus being in the next week or two, being severe, and people, you know, hunkering down for a while. And that means it's going to get greater. And we just got to continue to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, one of the greatest places, I believe, if you want to, you know, we can't go anywhere, but if you want to go somewhere, I think one of the greatest places we can come to in this life is actually at your wits' end. So you can take a journey there and come to your wits' end, because it's a great place, because it's where we are willing to acknowledge, I can't handle this, I can't do this, and we're willing to allow the Lord to take over. And that's what some of us need right now. Some of us are going to be able to go a little bit farther down the road, and then we'll come to our wits' end, and we'll be willing for the Lord to take over. But I want you to read with me in Psalm 107, and look at verse number 32 to 35 here, as we look at some of this stuff here. Psalm 107, verse 32 to verse 35. Look, notice what it says here. It says, "Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders." So there's rejoicing and praising as they gather. And then it says, "He turneth rivers into the wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, and for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs." Now that's kind of an interesting text there, because we need to be reminded, as we read through Psalm 107, we need to be reminded that God is able to do all things. Just in those few verses, we see that he can take the water springs and he can make them a wilderness, a dry and barren place where it was plush and delightful. And he can take a wilderness where it's dry and barren. He goes, "And I can turn that into a plush and beautiful place to be." So he can make the wilderness a water spring. He can make the water spring a wilderness. He can take something that's barren and make it fruitful, and take something that's fruitful and make it barren. In other words, all things are possible with him, because it's all about him. He's testing to see how we respond to this situation, and actually to him. And so here we see that we need to rest, that all things are possible with our God. And when we come to wits' end, we are able to turn to the one who's able to make all things possible, and we trust him, not with our plans, and we trust him in all things, that all these things that he has planned will work together for good. I think that would be a Bible verse in the New Testament, how all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are the called according to, notice what it says, it's his purpose. Amen? So I want us to consider three things this evening as we talk about being at our wits' end. And the three things we want to look at is the Lord we know. I want you to consider the Lord, that how we know and what the Bible teaches about him, that we're going to see that he's a good God, a merciful God, a loving God. And we're going to talk about, consider what we know about the Lord. The second thing that I want you to consider is not just the Lord we know, but the life we live. The life we live will be the second point. And then the third thing we want to consider is the lesson that we learn. So those are the three things: the Lord we know, the life we live, and then the last thing we'll consider is the lesson that we learn. So let's go ahead and ask God's blessing upon this, and then we'll begin with that very first point. Father, add your blessing. Thank you for each and every one that is here this evening. Father, we ask that you would just take and continue to grant safety. Keep us, Lord, safe from this disease. Help us, dear Father, to have our needs met as we look to you and trust in you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that this time around your word, Lord, that you promised that you would be with us, that you would never leave us nor forsake us. So may your Spirit who dwells within each one of us minister to our hearts in this time. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. I was going to say, and everybody said amen, but I wouldn't have heard it anyway. All right? So let's consider first off the Lord we know, as we're talking about coming to our wits' end. And I want you to notice something. We need to learn something first off about the Lord we know. And I want you to look at the very first verse of Psalm 107. What do we know about our Lord? And Psalm 107 declares, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Watch, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." The Bible says that we are to give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he's good, and that his mercy endures forever. So I know that I serve a God that is a good God and a merciful God. Now I want you to remember the Garden of Eden. Let's go back in time, and you can go back as early as chapter 3, where Satan comes onto the scene. And ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan has tempted man to doubt the goodness of God. And it's usually through situations and circumstances that arise, and we begin to question well, why is God doing this? I thought he was a good God. And we begin to question. That is a deceitful lie of the wicked one. The worst thing that can happen to us, you think getting coronavirus and dying is the worst thing? I think the worst thing that can happen, especially for a Christian to us, is to get to the place where we think that God is no longer good and no longer merciful. We need to remember that he is a good God, that he is a God of great mercy. And a lot of things have happened in many of your lives already that he's gotten you through. And whatever has happened in your life, understand that whatever will happen in the present and the future of our life does not change the goodness of God. Our Lord is good. And we should be offering thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good. For his mercy endureth forever. Folks, forever is a long, long time. And he says that his mercy is always there. So when we doubt the goodness of God, I think we get ourselves on dangerous ground. So as we look and consider this first point, the Lord we know, we see that he's a good God, and we see that he is a merciful God, and that you and I should be offering up thanksgiving to him for those two things. I mean, I'll be honest with you, until I started studying this, I don't know the last time that I said, Lord, I just want to thank you for your goodness and mercy. Maybe it's been a while. Even right now, from your heart, you could lift up a word of thanksgiving to him, not because of what's happening around us, but because of who he is and that he never changes. He is a good God. It's interesting that the Lord that you and I know personally as our Savior is not just a merciful God, but I want you to take the time and not do it right now, because I'm going to have you later jot this down, Psalm 136. In Psalm 136, there are 26 verses. So it's not a real long chapter, but there's 26 verses in Psalm 136, and every single verse, every one of them, is about the Lord's mercy, God's mercy. Everything that God does, he says in Psalm 136, you'll see it later, everything that God does, the Bible says this, and it emphasizes this fact, his mercy endureth forever. He'll make a statement in verse 1, and it follows with his mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, he'll make a statement because his mercy endureth forever. And right on down 26 times, he reminds us and he declares unto us as he makes a statement, then he says it's because his mercy endureth forever. If it were not for the Lord's mercies, and the Bible says that his mercies are new every morning, great is his faithfulness. But I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the Lord's mercies, the Bible says that we would be consumed with his wrath. Lamentation says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. So when we come to our wit's end, when we come to the end of ourselves and our schemes and our plans, and I just can't do this any longer, Custis, that's a good place for you to be. This is where I take over. This is where I take over. And when we come to wit's end, we must not forget that the Lord we know, number one, is good, and number two, that he's a God of mercy. So remember that and consider the Lord that we know. Now, the second thing I want you to also to consider that the Lord was directing me in is consider the life that we live. We are on a completely different stage at this point in time. It's interesting that all of us are on, as we go through life, are going through different things at different times, and we still are to some level, but all of us are in the same scene right now of this story. Not just us and our friends and our neighbors and our families and our the lost and the saved, but the whole world right now is on the same scene that's taking place. And I want you to consider personally the life we live when we talk about coming to our wit's end. In Psalm 107, the Lord paints, he paints four different scenes of life. And the life, our life that we live has a variety of scenes, of things that we that come and go in our life. But I want you to look at the first scene that he paints for us in Psalm 107. Look at verse number 3 through 8. And notice what it says here. He says, "And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." Verse 4. "They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." He goes on and he says in verse 6, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." If you got a pen and you got your Bible, you ought to circle verse number 6. It says, and notice we're going to see this several times in Psalm 107. It says, "Then they cried unto the Lord." They came to their wits' end. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Here in verses 3 through 8, this is a scene where people are needing direction. This may be the scene that you're in right now in your life. Lord, we need some direction on what we're to do and how we're to do it. And Lord, what is it that we need? And you at this point in time are at your wits' end, and you need to follow verse 6 and cry out to the Lord and asking for this direction. All of us, the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. So we all have a problem with going astray. But here is a need for direction, and we see that when we cry out to God, when we come to our wits' end and we cry out to him, we come to the end of ourselves, we actually are turning to him, cry out for him, and he gives us direction. He delivered them out of their distresses, and it says he led them forth by the right way, by the right way. All of us need God's direction. We will not have it until we cry out unto the Lord, and then he will hear us, and he says, I will deliver you. You know why? Because he's a good God, don't forget, and that he's a God of mercy. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. That's the first scene. They're crying out for direction. The second scene is found in verses 9 through 15. Read that with me if you would. Look at verse number 9. It says, "For he satisfieth a longing soul, and filleth a hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." I don't think we're there yet, but it seems like it sometimes right now. He goes on in verse 11, and it says, "Because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High." They wouldn't heed what God had to say. "Therefore he brought them down. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was," look what it says, "there was none to help." Now, if you have your pen, you ought to circle verse 13. "Then," there's a then again, "then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands asunder." Oh that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works among the children of men. In this second scene, it's not that they're come to their wits' end because they don't know what way to go as the first scene. This one here is a people who have rebelled against the word of God. They haven't honored and obeyed his word and his counsel, and they got themselves into a mess. Excuse me. They've rebelled against God, and now they need help. And there may be some here this evening that you have not been obedient to God's word. You are living in a life of rebellion. The Bible says that calls it what we call being backslidden. And the Bible says the backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. I wonder if some of this area that God is bringing judgment on our land is because of the Christians. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And here he talks about that we could be backslidden and rebelling against God in our heart and filled with our own ways. And it gets us into trouble. That verse text goes on and says, "Then he would hear from heaven and heal our land." Our land is needing healing. Our world is needing to be healed. And it begins with God's people first. Now, in this scene, those who have rebelled against God have now come to their wits' end. Whenever the prodigal went away and went astray, he finally came to himself, the Bible said. And when he came to his wits' end, we come to ourselves and we remember our Father's house. And we are then saying, I'm going to return. And these people in Psalm 107 had rebelled against God. They had put off and had contempt for his counsel. And here it says, what did they do? It says here, they came to their wits' end and they asked God to help them. Again, notice, then they cried. And verse 12, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. You see, it's all about God bringing us to a place where all we can do is look up and cry out. And the verse says, then they cried unto the Lord. Notice what it says, in their trouble. They're in a mess. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Why? He says, don't forget to thank me because I am a good God, and I'm a God of great mercy that endures forever. Verse number one. So that's the second scene. We have the first scene crying out because of needed direction. The second scene is they got themselves in trouble because of their own rebellion. Just not doing the things that God wants them to do. And then the third scene that's found here in Psalm 107 is in verses 17 through 21. We're talking about being at your wit's end. And look at what verse 17 says here for us. In our text, he says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. I mean, they're close to dying. Verse 19, then, there's your next pen underlining, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of all their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works of the children of men. So here is the third scene. One is direction. They cry out, he delivers them. One is because of our own willful disobedience to the word of God, rebelliousness, not heeding his word. We get in ourselves in a position and he cry out to him and he delivers us. And here, because of the people's sin, he says their transgression and their iniquities, they were not just rebelling against God, not doing what they should be doing. They were doing things they shouldn't be doing now. They're trespassing the commandments of God. And we find this people here who are into sin, and it even says in verse 18, they draw near unto the gates of death. I mean, wow, that is getting where death is looming right there on them. And what happens? They come to their wits' end, and they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. That's the third scene and the third time that we see people in different scenes crying out to the Lord in their trouble. And because he's a good God and he's a God of great mercy, he delivers those seeking direction. He delivers those that are willfully rebelling against him, and he delivers those that are outright sinning and opposing him. That's the goodness of God, folks. That's a merciful God. Now, I told you that there was four scenes. We're talking about the life we live. The fourth scene is found in Psalm 107, and it's verses 23 to 31. So let's read about this fourth scene in verse 23. And it'll actually will include our original text. It says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. These are skilled men at sea. And yet it says, because of the storm that has arisen, that the waves are mounting up so high and they're coming crashing down so fast and hard, it says that their soul is melted because of trouble. Verse 27, they reel to and fro. They can't even stand up on the deck. They stagger like a drunken man. And it says that these skilled men, these experts of sailing, are at their wits' end. They don't know what to do. They've tried everything that they've known and have experienced over the years, and they don't know what to do. And so what do they decide to do? Verse 28, get your pen out again. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. They come to their wits' end, their plans and their schemes, and when nothing else is working, and there's no one else around, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Of course, it goes on and it says, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Though they are glad, then they are glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. So we think of a song, Sweet Haven of Rest. That, what a place that's going to be when our ship comes in, amen, and we arrive on that sweet haven, those shores of glory. He says, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. So here in this fourth scene, we have these people were brought low. It wasn't because they were didn't know where they were going. It wasn't because they were in rebellion against the word of God. And it wasn't because they were in open sin against the Lord. They were just in trouble. You know, sometimes trouble comes when we're doing the right thing. The Bible didn't say they were doing anything wrong. They weren't lost. They weren't rebelling. They weren't doing ungodly things. They were doing the right thing. They were just going about their business and trouble came. Sometimes trouble comes when we're just doing the right thing. And when that trouble comes, what are we supposed to do when we come to our wits' end? The Bible says we are to cry out unto the Lord, and he will hear us, and he will deliver us, and we will praise him for his goodness and for his mercy. Folks, we're talking about being at our wits' end, coming to a place in our own life where we are at an end of what we're supposed to be doing. We have nothing that seems to be working. I can't handle this anymore. And when you come to your wits' end, the best place you can be is actually there, because then it brings you to a place to cry out unto the Lord and watch him answer. Now that brings us to our third point that we want to consider. We've considered the Lord we know. We've considered the life that we live. We saw four scenes there, and I think that we're all in one of those scenes, or maybe getting ready to go into one of them. But the last thing is the lesson we learn. What do we learn about all of this? What does God want you to learn through this? What does God want me, excuse me, what does God want me to learn? No, I don't have the virus. I've had this cough. Some of you have had the same cough I had, Brother Carl Faith. We've had these things way back in November. They love us so much, they don't want to leave. So what do we want to learn? What is God wanting us to learn? I think the lesson he wants us to learn is actually the same overall. These are four different scenes. They all had to learn the same lesson. So what is God wanting me to learn? What does he want you to learn in the Brown family, or in the Manette, or in the Lee family, or the Kirkpatrick? What is God wanting us all to learn in this lesson? I think the answer is found in Psalm 107. And it's at the very last verse. Look what the very last verse says in verse number 43, Psalm 107, verse number 43. Look what it says here. It says, whoso is wise, and will observe these things, watch what happens, even they shall understand. Understand what? The loving kindness of the Lord. You see, this whole study began with verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and that his mercy endureth forever." And then we go through these scenes of life where there's trouble and trouble and trouble and trouble. Some of it is self-inflicted. Some of it is not. And it's just we're doing the right thing. And yet we come to our wits' end in every situation and the various situations of life to where we don't know what to do. I just can't take it anymore. And some of you have been right on the verge of that several times in your life. And then you cried out to the Lord in your trouble. And he heard you, and he delivered you, and it's been passed now. And the process of all of these things he wants us to learn here, if we're wise and if we're observant, he says, I want you to understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Folks, people can be in great sorrow. People can be in a loss of where to go, needing direction. People can be in great rebellion against the Lord. They can be in great sin. They can be doing the right thing and have a huge storm come into their life that they weren't asking for. And every one of those people in every one of those circumstances can say, Lord, save me. That's what Peter did when he was walking on the water and he took his eyes off the Lord, looked at the waves and the storm that was raging, and the Bible says that he began to sink. And immediately he said, Lord, save me. Three words. And Jesus reached down, grabbed him by the hand, pulled him up out of the water, and walked to the ship and put him back into the boat. In every situation, no matter what your situation is, no matter what you're going through, whether it's something that just has come upon you or something that you have self-inflicted yourself with and it's gotten you in the depths of trouble and you're at your wit's end, you can cry out to the Lord. Notice verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Look at verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Look at verse 19, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Look at verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Doesn't matter what your situation, what scene that you're in, who you are. If you come to your wits' end, it's not a bad place to go. It's not a bad place to end up if it brings you to the Lord and his ways and his plans and his purpose. And you cry out to him and say, Lord, deliver me. It says that he will. You know why? Because he's a good God. Because he's a merciful God. And he says, the lesson I want you to learn above all, because I want you to see that I'm a God of great loving kindness. Great loving kindness. The lesson that you and I must learn is that God allows us to come to our wits' end so that we learn who he is and just how trustworthy we can rest in him. He wants us to give up our plans for his. And his plans are eternal. I want to just share this and then I'll close in prayer. When you and I come to wit's end, if you would, we have come to a place where we realize that the Lord is all we need. All we need. In Psalm 107, the Word of God gives us a picture of those who come to the end of themselves. They cry unto the Lord, and they find their deliverance in him. Remember, there's nothing, when I get to that place where there's nothing that I can do, and I just can't deal with it anymore, and that this situation is bigger than me, I recognize it's not bigger than my God. Amen? I hope that this was an encouragement. I hope it was a help. I hope that it blessed you and it reminds you that God is good, that his mercy is everlasting, and that He is a God of loving kindness, and that it would help us to understand what He's doing. He's trying to bring us back to Him. And if you catch anything tonight, as I made mention earlier, you have to go back to verse 1 and make that your cry. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Lord, I have neglected from giving you thanks as I should, and I want to thank you because... Notice that it has nothing to do with what He's given us. It has to do with everything of who He is, because you're good. And because you're merciful. And Lord, the lesson I learned tonight is that you're a God of great loving kindness. In the midst of a variety of troubles, in the midst of a variety of circumstances, some that I've got myself into, and some that I was minding my own business, and it came. I mean, how many of us were minding our own business when coronavirus came on, huh? Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. I pray, Lord, that your word is enough, that it satisfies, that it ministers to our inner man, our soul. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for, Lord, you said in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, we even tonight, as a group that's assembled, though separate, we offer up thanksgiving for who you are. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that your mercy is something that we don't deserve. You showing your mercy to us is withholding what we actually deserve, something else much worse. And we thank you that you're a loving and kind God. But Lord, I thank you for this virus, this coronavirus. You said that we're to give it thanks for everything. I thank you for this, that it has a higher purpose. And if this purpose brings people back to the Lord as believers, or it brings people to the Lord as unbelievers and they come to the Savior, then we rejoice greatly. We just pray now, Lord, for those families that are going through this time with family members or friends that have been infected. Lord, we pray for those who have suffered loss at this time, that you would undergird them with the everlasting arms. But for us as your people, Lord, may we say that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Bless each and every one, dear Father, of your people tonight that love you, that are called according to your purpose. There are so many, Lord, that I think of, that come to my heart and mind, that I pray for daily. I miss them so bad. And I just ask, Father, that you would just be merciful to us in this time, in this hour. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.